You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and we are once again being presented with the league trophy. Lawrence, you never tire of seeing these scenes, do you?
No, not at all. It's a great performance by the guys. A couple of wee injury worries, but oh, he was really sharp, wasn't he? Yeah, promising for the future. You know, another trophy. It's normal service under Ange. In fact, it's been normal centuries service this century, hasn't it?
It has been. That is domination. That's what you call domination, Lawrence. Now, the first thing I want to say there, just as they set up the podium so that the trophy can be presented to Celtic, is there was a wee kind of zoom in there to the ultras up in the top section in the north curve. A special mention to the fans in the Tifo today. I'll come to you on that one, Kevin McCloskey.
Yeah, I thought the fans were amazing today. Again, you could hear them coming through in the feed for the whole game, just singing for the 90 minutes. And it all started with Tom Boyd's Tifo display, because he did confirm during the commentary there that he was the man that set it all up.
But he definitely did.
But yeah, brilliant Tifo display. You know, I'll never tire of watching that video, probably, of it, as I say, just like panning around the stadium and seeing it. You've got Jock Steen, Willie Maley, and then you're stand on the shoulder of giants. Spine tingling stuff. But that's what we bring, though, isn't it? As Celtic fans, like, we bring the atmosphere. We bring something a wee bit special. We make these occasions, you know, memorable. We make them the big occasion that they are. I've got the split screen at the moment, so I'm watching Ange celebrating with the team and the players, and great moment.
You're right. We do make these moments unforgettable. And that's the one thing, although Lawrence is talking about domination, it's days like this, isn't it, Sean? Particularly when you're so far away and you can't actually just, you know, go along to the game and be part of that. It's days like this you really need to savour, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those ones where we're talking about dead rubbers and like the result today is like brilliant, but also literally the most meaningless result of any game this season. Because even if you lose 5-0, the point of today is to celebrate what you've achieved over 38 games, not one. So it's literally the most dilute of all the wins, but it's great when they do put on a performance, get the party, get the atmosphere going. That's what it's really about in terms of the actual result. In terms of the overall, this is, you know, 38 games, this is the final one. I was really, really nervous there at the end. Like, I was absolutely getting really anxious about that fifth goal going in, because I've got a little bit of OCD, and I did the maths, and it was coming out at just under 3 goals per game average. And I was like, right, we need one more goal. And then when he scored, I was like, yes, it's now precisely 3 goals per game average. 114 divided by 38 equals exactly 3. I was very relieved.
That is OCD, by the way. People accuse you of having OCD for having your tins of juice lined up in order in the fridge, but I mean, that takes the biscuit. Superb game. We will get to the performance, but I think you're right to point out the fact that, you know, it's about the season, Lawrence. What an amazing season. But what was happening, because we obviously cover every single nuance of every single game, is that there was this bit of a issue after the post-split whereby Ange, after the title was wrapped up at Tynecastle, he looked at the game slightly differently from maybe you and I as supporters, and he thought to himself, I'm just going to get some games and some of the fringe players' legs so that when I go into the Scottish Cup final, I've got as much information and data as I can possibly have before announcing my starting 11. But as fans, we just want to win games. And really, on a day like today, where you've blown Aberdeen away, no one is thinking about these games. So Ange was actually right, wasn't he?
Oh, mate, he's always right. Listen, it's not just a cup final. It's an eye in Europe as well. He really wants to test his squad and see what they've got. See what the backup players have. Hatate, you know, he'd been out injured. He needed minutes to get fit. So, you know, people were saying, you know, Ange has got questions to answer. And I was talking to Paul McQuaid for the Shamrocks morning, saying, well, we've done a league cup and league double in his first season. We're now unlucky to go into semi Scottish. So on course for a treble, and you're thinking, I'm not too sure what questions he's got to answer. You know, it's domination. What a brand of football he's brought with it. I think he's improved the squad, phenomenally, with the bargains he's picked up, players he's moved on. So, you know, he's entitled to use those games as he sees fit.
Do you think he was also doing it, Lawrence? Or is he already making decisions much, much earlier in terms of maybe one or two players he wasn't sure about in terms of where they're going to be, where their destination will be for next season? If he's not seen enough of them and he's tried them out, do you think there would be any final decisions made? Or is Ange the type of guy, those decisions would already have been made, do you think?
Well, very, mate, depending on the players, won't it? Depending on how much he's seen of that player and what they've given him.
Yeah.
You know, and what potential he sees in them. But listen, they were bounce games, let's be honest. You know, and it's good that he's using them to good effect, because if you put the full team out, you know, we've got a couple of injury worries today, but apparently Johnson's back up and running about, so just Kyogo now. You know, if you put the full team out and you picked up 3 or 4 injuries, you know, question be asked then. But yeah, it's just another great league performance from us, you know, utter domination. You know, Jared said the second season would be better, and so it's proven.
Has he told us what the third season would bring yet? We'll need to ask him.
He hasn't, mate. We'll need to go on the phone to him.
We'll need to ask him. Kevin, as I said before, it's you and I mainly on the post-matches, and Lawrence and obviously Laura, and it's great to get Sean on regularly as well. But after the games, you know, St Mirren, Rangers, Hibs, there was a growing concern, because you can see it in the comments, can't you? You can see people, and in the WhatsApp groups and then on social media, you can see that people are getting a bit concerned. But Ange was completely nonplussed, to the point where it was almost as if he was getting bored of answering the questions on the press conference in relation to the rotation. He couldn't quite get his head around the fact everybody was losing their minds, that we weren't at our best and we weren't at full strength. But with hindsight now, sitting here having demolished Aberdeen, and not just that the scoreline, but the performance, Kevin. The performance was kind of like vintage Ange, wasn't it? You kind of think to yourself, we shouldn't really doubt the man.
Well, he's no better by now than to doubt him. He's really put a foot wrong in the last two seasons. But like you're saying, we've done most of the shows all season, and then these games after the split, you never want to see your team lose a game. So whenever you lose, there's always that natural disappointment. I think it was the manner that we were losing some of the games. Players just form dropping off, and guys like Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate not reaching the highs that we know they can. It's natural that you get disappointment and worries coming in. But Kev Graham probably hit the nail on the head after Wednesday night's game, when he was saying, you know, we're disappointed by this. And it's, you know, you're hurt at the time because you've lost. But tomorrow morning, you'll wake up and the game will be forgotten because it didn't mean anything. And when he gets on the bus to go to the game today, he's not thinking about Wednesday night because it was a game that didn't mean anything. And that's, again, that's like where the discussion went on Wednesday, was that Ange has taken us from game one of the season to winning the league in game 34. And that's been the whole priority, was getting us through to a point where we would win the league. Then after that, it's let's get the team ready for the cup final and let's see what some of the other players can do. And that's also then preparation for next season, because he'll know a little bit more about some of the players that didn't get a lot of the minutes in games 1 to 34. Mm-hmm. Now he does. There's a better understanding of the squad. We all know a bit more about the players and what we can expect from them. And yeah, we've just got to trust in his process that he knows what he's doing. 4 trophies out of 5 so far, potentially a 5th to come next week. He's doing all right, isn't he?
He is. We were talking, Sean, about the mantra and how during the COVID season, a lot of the time people are saying, you know, it's fine, just keep the faith and everything will work out. And I just felt during that season it was kind of blind faith. But this mantra does feel a bit different, doesn't it? Where people say trust in Ange. Because, as Kev says, we should know better and we should trust in him. Are you buying into that, or are you going to be a pessimist around that and say, no, actually, we should be questioning the fact that we were murdered in the last 3 games?
Nah, I think it's fine, right? As long as if you go and win the cup, then he's proven to be right. And you can also see today when the intensity was raised, we pick up a couple of injuries that, so we might have had more injuries if it hadn't been otherwise. If we had been playing full strength, full pelt.
Good point.
So you could almost say that those injuries today are a vindication of what he's done, you know, keeping Kyogo out and then sticking him in and he gets injured when he plays from the start. So, yeah, I mean, look, it'll be consigned to history. It'll just be an aberration. Nobody thinks about these games that happen after the league is won. They think about the games that, you know, the last minute winners in November, the derby wins in February. Those are the ones that get talked about at the end of the season, not these dead rubbers.
Martin O'Neill getting the applause of the crowd here, Lawrence. I mean, we spoke about it just a few weeks back when I was absolutely privileged enough to share a stage with Martin O'Neill. We spoke about the impact and the legacy of O'Neill almost starting that domination. I know that we'd won the league under Wim Jansen, Lawrence, but that was obviously the first time in a decade as the team comes onto the park. The first time in a decade. And the real domination started when Martin O'Neill came to the club, didn't it? The modern domination that we now speak of.
Yeah, well, for me, it goes back to, you know, Fergus building a stadium with Tommy. Because at, you know, that point, cheating went into hyper mode, which eventually led to liquidation. So, you know, I mean, Jackie was talking about it last night, how close that team came to win the league. You
know, I know.
One defeat all season. And he says, you know, it's more galling looking back, realising, you know, Rangers were cheating all the way through the season. So, you know, their response to us and Fergus building a stadium, giving us an inbuilt advantage, was to cheat more. And that forced them into liquidation. But certainly Martin coming in, you know, that's really when we started piling up the trophies. Starts with a treble, you know. And but I wouldn't be Martin. You know, re-established the reputation in Europe. And it's just been built on since then, hasn't it? And is it just as well? Didn't use the full quote today, you know, dwarfs standing on the shoulder of giants. Because, but yeah, it's, you know, hats off to Peter Lowell, Dermot Desmond, because they've built on that work financially as well. They've kept us stable. They've given managers backing when required. And, you know, and you've got to see this just continuing, because that advantage that Fergus built in is still there.
Yeah, 10,000 extra seats. I mean, when you're looking at days like today, you mentioned the treble and Martin O'Neill's first season. Such an incredible achievement back then, Kevin, because at that time, yeah, Lawrence has explained why they were strong, but we were up against a strong Rangers team who had big spending power, and we know why they had big spending power. And we hadn't won a treble since 1969 when Martin O'Neill did it. And now we're talking about another treble. Not only are we talking about another treble, Kev, we're talking about a world record amount of trebles as a club, but also a world record in terms of the players as well. such as Callum McGregor. You know, no one on the planet has won as many trebles as that man if we win the treble. Quick question, one of you guys or somebody in the comments might want to answer. Is Jamesy Forrest, is he on the same amount of trebles as Callum? He will be, surely.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah.
Unless he missed so many games within a tournament, he didn't get a medal. I'm guessing he's won the same amount of trebles as Callum.
I can't remember the rules for cup final medals, but...
I think you only have to have played at any point in the run to the final.
To get the medal, yeah. So yeah, we've actually got Jamesy and Callum going to win a fifth. But, I mean, that's just unbelievable. We're in special, special times, Kev.
It's unreal when you think about it. Because you say, like, what was it, 1969, was it?
Yeah.
The previous treble before O'Neill came in. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're so blessed at the moment. I don't know if there's another word to describe it, but that's exactly what we are just now. That we've seen so many in such a short space of time, but just in like in our lifetime, you know, it's something, and you don't take it for granted, any of this, you know, every single one of them means more than the one before because they are so difficult to win. We've just been utterly relentless in the last, kind of since the turn of the century, as Lawrence said, this is our 17th title in 23 years, right? That's a level of domination that I don't think anyone's ever done that before. I don't think we would have won 17 titles in 23 years when we did the initial 9 in a row kind of thing.
We've done it the right way as well, Kev. You know, going back to what Lauren said, we've done it the right way. We've built it on solid foundations.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Exactly. And you've got to go back to Fergus for that. I think we've spoken about this before as well. Every success we have from day one of him coming in to wherever in the future, it's all down to him because he's the man that had the vision. He built the big stadium when no one else thought we could fill it out. When we were getting 15,000-20,000, we were at Hampden, we couldn't fill it. Fergus put an extra 10,000 seats in and we've grown massively as a club. Everything's down to him. O'Neill coming in, what was that, 25-point gap? Or something like that. He had to come around from the season before, something like that, against a side that was financially doped, and he had to do it the right way, and he did. It's unreal. It really is. You know, I remember.
We just finished paying off that loan now for that season.
What season was that?
No idea. Sorry,
the Martin O'Neill season. I think we just finished this season paying off that loan that paid for those transfers in 2001.
Well, at least we paid it. At least we paid it.
There's not a face painter waiting to get his £43 off theirs. We've paid our loans.
By the way, I'm just, like everybody else, I'm watching the scenes, and I'm actually quite gutted that at the moment, live, I've not been able to hear what Anne just said. Anybody in the comment section who is listening to us and also listening to what the big man said, please fill us in because he does have that habit, doesn't he, of saying motivational things. And last season, Sean, he spoke about coming back better, bigger and stronger. What do we do next season?
Champions again because I'm a lucky man. In the comments.
I've seen that one.
Look, if you... If you're tracking the Scottish media, then the only way you can get...
Did he actually say that? Is that for real?
Hopefully.
I hope
hopefully.
So.
It's in there a few times now.
So. I did. Well,
Paul Muffet, he's actually said, he was a legend already, and look at him now. He's, yes, I am a lucky man. I love it.
The Mickey with his celebrations, with his salute and stuff?
I know. Will they play lucky man over the tannoy? I hope so. I really do hope so. Again, again. Sorry, Sean, I've cut you off.
No, that's all right. I wanted to hear that as well. No, I was just going to say, if the Scottish media are to be believed, then the only way we can actually improve is if we sign some free agents from Norwich. That seems to be the path forward for the big clubs that are hoping to play in the Champions League next year. So hopefully we can do that. Get some championship level, English championship level free agents. That's how we can improve.
Oh, I mean,
it's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream. That's the level you want to be shopping at.
Yeah,
I want to. I mean, we've been looking at some of the bigger, that kind of overarching, not issues, but you know, talking points about the club, where we are, how that started. I mean, we'll all be watching this at different rates, you know, depending on where you are in the world. But looking at the players just passing that trophy down, I've just seen O. Burnaby's got it at the moment. I've just seen O with the trophy. Let's have a wee chat about his second half performance then, because, you know, when we're looking at the games, Kevin, there was a few players that were getting a bit of stick. Burnaby got a bit of stick. And we did a show just last week about, listen, it's not time to write O off yet. Because again, a bit like Kobayashi, I would say maybe at the beginning of this game, young guy got time on his side. You know, let's just try and nurture him a bit. And there's been, listen, I thought he played okay against Hibs as well the other night. But that second half performance, it's a timely reminder that this is a guy for the future. This is a guy that's shown us some nice glimpses of what he can do, and he's still developing. And let's not write the boy off. I mean, two brilliant goals in the second half there. Well, one was about a sclaff, but he's got to be in a good position to do it.
No, they're both brilliant goals because they're strikers' goals, and that's exactly what we need. Someone that's in there sniffing about and putting away those loose balls when they're in there, especially the second goal, because that's off the training ground. You can tell by the way that he's made his run around the wall to be there if that ball bounces back. So, big credit to him for both his goals. And he's a player I would never write him off. Like, not just now, anyway. He's... The way we play, and we see it with Kyogo as well, there's games when Kyogo doesn't touch the ball and the comments will come in, you know, oh, Kyogo's having a nightmare, get him off. So the way we play, sometimes the ball just doesn't make it to the centre forward, but the movement's there and it's those things that go unnoticed. Now, O's not at the same level, but I think he could get there, he can get somewhere towards there, because whenever he does get the ball, he holds it up well. He's a big target man. He holds it up. He can bring players into the game. And he's not scared to have a shot, even if it's maybe not the best option. He's confident in himself that he'll take it on. And I said, with the goals today, it's great movement, striker's instincts. I think there's a player in there, and he'll only get better as he gets more games and gets more used to the way that we're playing.
Yeah, because I've said before as well, Kevin, days like today galvanise certain players who haven't, you know, been through that process. I mean, you win a cup, obviously, was part of that, but this is different, you know, trophy day, winning the league. And I think that you then get a version of a player coming back. Hopefully, if things go to plan, you get that version, you know, the galvanised, the version two, the season two player coming through. Yeah. And I think we've seen it this season with Hatate, yeah, tiny wee dip in form there. Probably because he wasn't back up to speed yet, but we've seen today, Hatate was absolutely on fire today. So next season, I think the likes of Awata, you would hope to see the real version of the player next season. I think you put him into the category as well. And I'm going to ask you this, Sean, because I've mentioned this a few times, right? And I can't think of a better word than you know, arrogance, right? But he scores that goal that Jota basically hits the bar with, a phenomenal free kick, brilliant technique, and he just runs away. It's all about him. I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that about him, because it just shows you that he's hungry. He's hungry for goals. He's hungry to prove to us that he's the real deal.
Yeah, some strikers just thrive on goals way more than other ones. The kind that are, you know, greedy, that will not square a ball and will have a shot. But, and we've not really had enough chance to see if that's the case with O or not yet, but he's certainly hungry for goals. And statistically, he's our best striker. He's got more goals, a better minutes per goal ratio than Kyogo. So, should he be starting?
No, he has. I mean, those two goals today, where does that take him then, Sean, on the stats?
Roughly, back of a cigarette goals. Packet. Is, seven goals, 80, which is a goal every 80 minutes, 8-0. And Kyogo's on every 95.
Yeah, because I read the stat.
Calculations.
Because he was beating Giakoumakis, wasn't he, in that stat? I did read that. So, no, tremendous. And again, what I've just seen there, Lawrence, is just shows you how special days like today are, because I don't think we're as bad as the EPL for getting the phones out to film celebrations and all that. But we've just seen players now filming the fans singing Walk On. And it just shows you that coming together. The Holy Trinity, it's sometimes called, you know, the fans, the players, the management. It does feel like we've got that at the moment, Lawrence.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I suppose you had it first season under Rodgers, you had it under Strachan where we get two last 16s. You know, things are definitely coming together. You know, we get a cup final, a world record treble that's not just a world record in Scotland. So, it's all looking good just now. You know, Kyogo, he's walking about, you know. It doesn't look as if he's going to be out if he's walking about, and Johnson's going about as well. So, absolutely cracking. You know, I'd like to say we've probably been a bit underestimated the refs this season. You know, it's a hard job, and we all thought, you know, once the league was over, they'd maybe give a penalty against Rangers, but we underestimated them, and they've managed not to.
Because they were going for 55. I think the point that Sean made, Kevin, was very interesting. When we're talking about that drop-off in intensity and performance and indeed results over the three games that no one enjoyed watching, because we're getting so used to watching Celtic perform better. But when you up that intensity, you also up the risk of a guy like Kyogo getting injured, or someone like Johnson perhaps having a reoccurrence of an injury. So again, it underlines just what Ange is all about, doesn't it?
Exactly. As I say, from the fan perspective, you just want to win every game, and you want to see the strongest team going out and playing and winning. It's only with hindsight, I think, that you look back and you go, nah, you've got to trust the manager. Ange knows what he's doing. He's picking certain teams for certain games for a reason. And I hadn't actually thought about it in the way that Sean's described it. But I think, you know, thinking about it, it makes a lot of sense. It's those games were the perfect chance to give fringe players a game, but it was also the chance to lower the intensity a wee bit, take certain players out of the firing line, or take players out of the risk of getting an injury, because no one wanted a Kyogo or a Jota to get an injury before the cup final. He's navigated us through the last few games. And now, yeah, we've got a cup final to look forward to, and we've got pretty much a full-strength squad, because I think kind of watching the highlights, or not the highlights, but watching the celebrations there as well, Johnson seems to be walking fine. I think Kyogo's walking about quite fine as well. So, yeah, Ange has managed these last few games a lot better than we actually thought at the time.
Yeah, I know, because we're just so... You know what? It's blinkers, right?
His last few games. The last few games, mate?
The last few games. Sorry. Yes. That would have been a Freudian slip if that is what I said. Apologies. I know. Andy's here for the long term, right? There you go.
A couple of wee things. Well, we say we're no worried, except Sean, about the Spurs thing. Right, there's a couple of wee points I want to bring up. Stevie boy, Abada, see what you're leaving, Youngin. He might not be leaving, Stevie, but I get your point. Days like today, Sean. Special days. You can go to other clubs, you can make more money, but you don't always get days like today, do you?
Nah, and I do wonder about that. Like, you guys have been doing a lot of kind of ex-player interviews recently, and it's hard because you never know why players are really leaving. Sometimes they get kind of driven down to the other club and told they have to sign because of the amount of money that the other club's playing. Sometimes they just think grass is greener on the other side, so we don't really know what's going on with Abada, really. But yeah, I'd say that there's not many clubs you go to where you're going to get this level of success. I mean, look at Johnston, Alistair Johnston. He's won two medals in five months. Or I don't know.
What's his average medal per game?
Yeah.
We need to ask the Scottish media that, you know.
Yeah. And I think there was other things in the similar stats in the past, with players that come in January and just start racking up medals. And I mean, that's what you look back at the end of your career. But, you know, these guys also aren't going to be playing football past, what, say 35. So if you live to your 80, you need a bit of money to retire on, right? So you can't, I don't know. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's a complex problem, right?
It is, and you're right. We don't always know the detail. Jackie Mack spoke about it last night. You know, when he left, he didn't want to leave. He absolutely didn't want to leave the club. He was a club captain at the time. He was happy just to, you know, stay on the same wages. And you just don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Here's something. I'm going to bring it up. It's Bandy got a game. Still frustrating that so many fans were doubting Ange the last few games. Just insanity. And what I would say is, you've got to expect it a wee bit in this day and age, Lawrence, because people have fears and emotions about the football club. And in the past, you could maybe speak about it on the bus, going to and from the games or in the booze or whatever. But now somebody has a thought and it's out there. It's out there on social media. It's out there in a WhatsApp group. And that's the difference, right? You don't even have time to let the thought settle and then think, oh, you know what, I was overreacting, because it's just out there. And so I don't blame the fans. I absolutely don't blame Celtic fans for getting a wee bit concerned. We've got a Scottish Cup final coming up next week. That's what the concern was it not?
Listen, I think about it is the instant reaction. Maybe some people's looking for attention. You know, as I said, Paul McQuaid and me were talking about it this morning and going, two trophies first year, already successfully defended them and going for a treble, and people are saying he's got questions to answer.
I don't know what the question was.
You used to play champ manager and you'd won the league, God knows how often in a row, and then two bad games, fans have turned your sack. Like, yeah, it would be English Premiership madness. Hopefully, it doesn't creep in up here. It's maybe just heat in a moment stuff, mate. You know, you've lost the game, you're disappointed, but you know, you've got to look at the football sense. People are getting minutes in the legs, we're not getting injuries. He's planning for next season in the cup final, he's planning to win trophies. You know, that's simply it. You know, really knows how to do that. So, not all trophies, not bragging rights or toe-to-toe or Beale leagues, but, you know.
There's a Beale Cup he's still to win or something like that.
They're one-off trophies, like, you know, not quite as good as the Empire Exhibition Trophy, but they are one-offs.
The Kieran Cup.
Yes, exactly. The other thing I was going to say there, you mentioned it, Kevin, at the beginning of the game, like, if there was a surprising inclusion today, it was probably Awata. Came through that absolutely flawlessly, I think. And by the way, he's up against a decent strike force in Aberdeen.
Yeah, he excuse me. Yeah, he did. He came through that game with flying colours.
Is that the bubbles, man? Is that just coming back on you, the champers?
That's what it is.
Sean, where's your champagne, mate? Here's the champagne in the cup final.
I did, yeah. I'm saving it for next weekend. That's the big one, eh?
Perfect. Sorry, Kev, I interrupted you there.
There you go. Iwata, he was really good today. Yeah, up against Duke, who I think he's got 18 goals or something, 16, 18 goals this season. So he's a proper threat, good player. But he handled everything. I thought Starfelt as well was pretty good. Not that the back line really had much to do, but everything they did have to do, they did it well. Iwata's kind of midfield background showed as well, because he was so calm and composed in the ball, helping us bring it out from the back. So maybe, you know, maybe that's us having that wee bit of ignorance about him and not knowing that much about his previous career in Japan. He might actually be really suited to being a ball-playing centre-back for us and just another option that we can have. And looking to the cup final now, you'd be pretty confident to have him in the centre-back, because he's come through a test today. Whereas before I was thinking, you know, Kobayashi's the one you've got to have in and get him through the test. Mm-hmm. So Iwata's done it. I think for me, he's earned the right to have the jersey for the cup final.
Right, I'm going to ask the three of you your starting lineup for next week. And I know that I'll probably speak to most of you before then anyway, but we'll speak about it just now. And we'll sign off to let everybody go and get the bubbles and get the fizz or whatever it is that is your tipple of choice. And I'll start with you, Kev. Give me your starting 11 for next week. You've already given us a Iwata.
Yep. Today's team. I'll be really quick. Today's team is my starting 11. Hart in goals. As long as he's fit, Johnston's at right back. Starfelt, Iwata, Taylor. McGregor, O'Reilly, Hatate in midfield kind of picks itself.
They were all good today, Jota, weren't they? The midfield played really. Everybody in midfield played well today.
Yeah, I think Sean had mentioned at halftime about the passing being back. It was at the levels it was at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. The season. So today was a right real return to form from everyone in the midfield. Jota's got to play in the wing. I think if Abada is fit, I'd play him because I thought he was really dangerous in the first 45 minutes. So I'm not sure what his injury was. But if he's fit, for me, I would play him. And Kyogo, well, what is he? 33 goals for the season, something like that now. Mm-hmm. I can you leave him out? So, that's the team. Today's starting 11 for me. We should start the final.
And of course, Kyogo likes a double in a cup final, doesn't he? So Maeda then gets sent off against Hibs in a so-called meaningless game, Lawrence, and potentially loses his place in the final because Abada comes in and plays a right good 45. What about your starting 11, Lawrence Connolly?
Maeda in for Abada. Apart from that would be the only change from today.
I can understand why that would be the case. Yeah, what about yourself?
Maeda just gives us so much. You know, Abada, decent first half, but you know, I don't know why he's went off. I think Maeda just adds a lot more to the team. And Maeda in for Abada. Apart from that, everyone else starts.
As is. What about yourself, Sean? Any shockers? Are you going to throw in any grenades?
I almost answered there when you said Lawrence Connolly, because I just heard the surname just triggered me. No, same as Lawrence, Maeda and for Abada. I think Abada looked like he pulled up after about 35 minutes when he was chasing a ball over the top. I noticed it. And then he kind of pulled out of a sprint after that as well. So I feel like he's probably not going to be 100%, might make the bench.
I noticed the sprint. I never noticed him pulling up, but I did notice he pulled out the sprint a wee bit earlier than you would have expected. So, that will be in. Both teams, to be fair, I think would work. I'm feeling a lot more confident. I wasn't lacking confidence, but I'm feeling a lot more confident, and in particular with Awata. I'm delighted that O came on and scored another couple of goals. We had a request when we wrapped up the league at Tynecastle. We had a request to play our hit single, The Glory and the Dream, that was in the charts.
Before we go, remember, we've got a cup final tomorrow.
We do have a cup final tomorrow. Are you going to the game?
I think I will, mate. Yeah, I think there's going to be about 4,000 Celtic fans there. So I'm hearing Celtic sold about 4,000.
Incredible.
Yeah, good. So yeah.
One last thing about the women's team then.
The last day.
I was talking last night about it to a few people about the women's game, and what I would say is that it's something that Celtic can't just play at this, right? Because what we've proven in the last two games at Celtic Park is the incredible level of interest that you can have in the women's game. I think that what a season it was, and I've already mentioned the fact that when we were going for that title, no one cared if it was men's or women's football. They just wanted Celtic to win the league. Would you agree with that, Lawrence? Would you agree with that, guys?
Oh, totally. The atmosphere in the stadium was electric. Absolutely. You know, and
yeah,
when we thought Rangers had done us a favour, you know, the cheer went up. It was, and then obviously, a bit of heartbreak at the end. But
yeah,
no one cared. You know, we were looking at Natasha Flint, Kit up front, Jacinta. You know, they play for Celtic. We're one way to bring a trophy home. And hopefully it's tomorrow they do.
Well, I hope they do. And I also hope that the club gets the proper backing into the women's team, because obviously the figures don't stack up when you compare them to Rangers and Glasgow City. So that's something I think that needs to improve on next season as well. And we'll keep banging the drum for the women's team. And, you know, Alan Robertson, it came in at Tynecastle, said, go and play the Glory and the Dream for us just to sign it off for the day. And we're going to do exactly the same today. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved across all three streams. Brilliant performance, 5-0. We'll be back on Monday. And thank you to the two Connollys, Lawrence and Sean, and also to my post-match compadre, Kevin McCluskey, for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Hello.
Nice one. Cheers, Paul.
Over centuries past, since we first began our journey across the sea to find the glory in the dream. Just a tailor and a joiner and a brother built our team. Greeted sometimes with hostility, but more often with delight. The boys rise and had to clear through troubled skies. After constant days of struggle, they arrived in paradise. This feels like heaven. This must be the dream. united and our children do the same. This feels like heaven. This must be a dream. This feels like paradise. The best we've ever seen. The best we've ever seen. Was formed in November 1887 by a number of Catholics in the east end of the city. The main objective of the club is to supply the East End conferences of the St. Vincent de Paul Society to support those in the missions of St. Mary's, Sacred Heart and St. Michael's. Many cases of sheer poverty are left unaided through lack of means. A football club will be formed for the maintenance of the dinner tables of our needy children. This feels like heaven. This must be the dream. This feels like paradise. The best we've ever seen. The best we've ever seen. We stand in paradise. Brothers, sisters.
Network.